shutting the door on Ebola.
We need to send the signal now. Our border is closed.
Is it the best strategy?
A flat-out travel ban is not the best way to go.
Hurricane bears down on Bermuda.
We think it's going to pass close enough that there will be severe impacts.
Walk off to the World Series.
The Giants win the pennant!
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. With two Ebola patients in this country and the health of hundreds of others being watched, there's increasing pressure to do something more to protect Americans from people who might come here with the deadly virus. CBS's Barry Bagnato joins us live from Washington.
Better training of healthcare workers, full body suits for protection, something that CDC is considering, CBS's Dr. John LaPook says. And several members of Congress, including Michigan Republican Fred Upton, demand a ban on travel from West Africa.
We should not be allowing these folks in. Period.
CDC Director Dr. Tom Frieden argues that could backfire.
There is a high likelihood they will find another way to get here, and we won't be able to track them.
President Obama agrees but is willing to reconsider.
I don't have a philosophical objection necessarily to a travel ban if that is the thing that is going to keep the American people safe.
Just outside this capital city, Nina Pham, the nurse who was the first to contract Ebola on U.S. soil, arrived at the National Institutes of Health overnight for specialized treatment. At the Dallas hospital where she was exposed to the virus, CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman says new restrictions are being pushed.
There are more than 70 healthcare workers here in the Dallas area who help treat Thomas Eric Duncan. Officials now want them to sign an agreement to stay away from public transportation and places where people gather, like schools, shopping centers, and churches. Another healthcare worker at the Texas hospital who did not have contact with Duncan, but possibly may have helped process his bodily fluids, is, it turns out, on a cruise ship that left on Sunday before increased guidelines were put into effect. That worker, who has shown no signs of Ebola, is staying away from other passengers. One nurse from Texas Presbyterian Hospital is speaking out, attacking the facility.
I saw a chaotic scene. It wasn't organized. It wasn't safe.
Brianna Aguirre is part of a nurses' union that has been strongly critical of procedures. She says some workers did not have proper protective gear.
In Ohio, some schools in the Akron area are closed today as a precaution and are being cleaned. There are concerns some parents or staffers were close to Amber Vinson, the Dallas nurse with Ebola who traveled there. 18 nurses at two hospitals who were on Vinson's flight last Friday are on paid leave, also as a precaution. 60% in a new CBS News poll say the CDC has done a fair or poor job in handling the Ebola situation. President Obama's considering possibly naming a czar to handle the Ebola crisis. The effects of Hurricane Gonzalo are starting to be felt in Bermuda. It's expected to hit later today as a Category 4 with top sustained winds of 130 miles an hour. Police spokesman Robin Simmons says people are bracing for the worst.
Businesses and government offices are closed except for essential services.
Todd Kimberlane of the National Hurricane Center says this is a powerful storm.
It could be a dangerous and life-threatening storm surge that could produce significant coastal flooding in Bermuda, and that surge is going to be accompanied by large and destructive waves.
Hawaii's Big Island is bracing for Tropical Storm Anna later today. In Nepal's northern mountains, the deadly issue has been blizzards and avalanches. Early for the season, at least 29 climbers have died this week. Others are still stranded. British climber Paul Sheridan says conditions have been brutal.
I found myself in a position where I was on the side of the mountain with no compass, no GPS, no map, and with people that had absolutely no idea where we were, and it was panic.
Helicopters are being used to try to get to those who are stranded. In the battle against Islamic militants in Iraq and Syria, the U.S.-led coalition has owned the air. CBS's Holly Williams, reporting from northern Iraq, says the terrorists may pose a new threat.
Unconfirmed reports claim that ISIS militants have begun flying warplanes over Aleppo province in Syria. And here in Iraq, the Islamic extremists continue to inflict deadly damage. At least 50 people were killed in the Iraqi capital Baghdad yesterday in a series of car bombs, as well as a mortar attack on a residential neighborhood. In Syria, though, the battle for the town of Kobani has taken a new turn after intense U.S.-led airstrikes. There are reports that the militants are retreating. A very public test of whether U.S.-led airstrikes can halt the advance of ISIS militants.
I'm Heather Bosch in New York, outside a mosque in Harlem.
Yes, they are a religion of peace.
People in the neighborhood say worshippers inside are certainly not extremists, but they are concerned concerned about terrorists we're seeing overseas murdering in the name of Islam.
It does concern me because it's the world I live in, too.
Muslim leaders across the city are preaching messages of peace today. They're launching Twitter and Facebook sites doing the same. This Muslim American says it's everyone's responsibility.
I think so. I think we have to stand up for what we believe.
Heather Bosch, CBS News, New York.
Police outside Seattle believe they found the body of 32-year-old actress Misty Upham in a ravine. She's known for her roles as a housekeeper in August Osage County and as a mother who's an immigrant smuggler in Frozen River.
Where's Daddy?
Probably in Atlantic City by now. Gambling away the money for our house.
Upham was reported missing by her family 11 days ago. They told police she was suicidal. Vice President Biden's 44-year-old son Hunter has been kicked out of the Navy Reserve after testing positive for cocaine. The discharge actually happened in February, but privacy laws kept the reason under wraps until it emerged in a media report. There was bottom of the ninth inning drama last night in San Francisco.
Hits one into right. The Giants win.
The call on Fox as the Giants won the National League Championship Series with a 6-3 win over St. Louis. It was Travis Ishikawa's 3-run homer that brought his delirious teammates onto the field.
I don't remember touching third. I don't remember touching home. Next thing I remember was being thrown down with my jersey ripped off.
It was the Giants' third trip to the World Series in 5 years. The series opens Tuesday in Kansas City. 25 years ago today, World Series Game 3 was set to be played in San Francisco.
Ladies and gentlemen, power has been interrupted. The game has been called. Can you please leave the stadium in an orderly manner?
The game was called because of the earthquake that rocked Northern California, the quake blamed for 67 deaths. The series resumed 10 days later. A judge in South Africa is expected to announce the sentence for Blade Runner Oscar Pistorius next Tuesday. The prosecutor told the court he should serve at least 10 years in prison for killing his girlfriend. Pistorius was convicted of culpable homicide in the case. His lawyer told the court today Pistorius has lost everything. There are some new limits for a centuries-old attraction in Vatican City, the Sistine Chapel.
In summer months, up to 2,000 people gaze at Michelangelo's frescoes inside the chapel, and the Vatican fears damage to the delicate art. Despite a new climate control system that filters the air and a new high-tech lighting system, the head of the Vatican's museum said the growing crowds will have to be limited to the current number of 6 million per year. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
And that's the World News Roundup for Friday. The broadcast is produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.